The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
It is now time for Between the Lines with Jack Miller, sponsored by Hylent, one of the country's largest privately held insurance brokerages, offering business insurance, personal insurance, and employee benefits services. To learn more, visit Hylent.com. That's H-Y-L-A-N-T.com. That's Hylent.com.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. And as you just heard Ira say, it is time for Between the Lines, that breakdown of the play in the trenches, which, frankly, for this team, that is the biggest storyline. Both lines in the first 2 weeks of this season have been really, really strong, have been stalwarts, if you will, in their performances, and joining us to break down their play in their most recent victory under the lights over Washington is former Michigan offensive lineman Jack Miller. Jack, how you doing this morning?
Good, Sam. How you doing? Good morning.
I'm doing great, man. I just figure, as you know, I'm watching the game, I was like, man, guys like Jack probably watch this. Like, yeah, this is my kind of game, man. This is a lineman's kind of game, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been fun to watch the first couple weeks. Not a lot of bad things to point out up front from the big fellas, which is it's nice to see, right? They talked about it all offseason, and they've been delivering so far. It's great to see the physical nature and the run game come back to the team.
So let's kind of take me inside how it feels, Jack. I mean, what's going through the mind of an offensive lineman when, you know, you get the call and it's like, okay, counter, split zone, counter. Duo. I mean, over and over and over again. What are you guys feeling? What are you guys thinking as call after call like that comes in?
Well, you love it, right? I mean, that's how you want to play as an offensive lineman. And the reason that it keeps coming back again and again and again is because it's working, right? So, you know, it's just a snowball effect. Things are going right. And like you said, it really wasn't that exotic what they were doing. some ways to wrinkle in different parts of those plays, but it essentially is the same stuff over and over. And when it keeps called, when you keep getting called like that, it's a great feeling, right? You're owning the game. You're controlling your own destiny. You're up, you're running the clock, and really you're breaking the will of the opponent. And that's the goal up front every time. And you're able to do that. You're always pretty happy.
So the counter was, that was like the staple run play in this game. In the first game, it was split zone, right? They ran it to death. In this game, so many counters. Yep. And Jack, the different variations of counter, I mean, guard, tackle.
Yep.
I mean, you had the center pulling a lot. You would have the tight end involved at times. And one of the things that I wanted you to get into is the center's role in determining often who it is, like, am I going to pull? Is the guard going to pull?
Yep.
I mean, that's a call that you make often, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good point, Sam. Like you were saying, there's so many variations of the same play, and it's not as if that's predetermined before they get to the line of scrimmage. That's determined upon how the defense is lined up. And when you get a team like a Washington that can give you a lot of different looks, that's maybe a little bit more of an exotic defense, which luckily Michigan has been practicing against for the last, month and a half in their own building. Right. And you saw that because the communication was spot on. So you get to the line of scrimmage, you make your calls, whatever they might be in this offense. I wish I had that information for you. I don't, but they're all communicating about, where the lineup is and who has the most leverage able to pin and able to pull around. Right. And so, the communication has been spot on. You don't see many missed pickups and missed assignments from this offense right now. And that is, in my mind, a large byproduct of the fact that this whole offseason, Coach McDonald's been throwing a bunch of exotic stuff at this offense, and they've been forced to understand, to communicate effectively. And even if maybe they do get it wrong, they were all on the same page at least. So it usually worked out in their favor.
Yeah, man. So let's start getting into talking about some of these counters, and I'm gonna pick out one where the center pulls. So let's go to in your mix the one that I label counter CH, and I'm gonna bring it up, and you can kind of talk us through. This is the Blake Corum touchdown. Where I mean, it's as I said during the game, I tweeted during the game. It's like, man, it doesn't get any cleaner than this, Jack. I mean, he didn't have to make a cut. The hole was just there. You just got to turn on the afterburners. And as a back, that's like, dude, this is heaven. They just opened up a lane for you, and all you got to do is get on your horse. So let me go ahead and share the screen and pull that up, and then you can talk us through the dynamics up front.
Sure.
So that people can understand. So let me take it back to the beginning, and then you can start talking us through. All right, here we go.
Yeah, 1st and 10 early in the game. So, you know, the playbook's wide open. Get anything you want out of it. Hold on 1 sec.
Okay. And this is 10 minutes in the second quarter. Michigan is up 3-0, and this is a beautiful the safety. He's one-on-one. He takes a horrible angle. I don't know if he knows that Blake is that fast, but
that's bad defense on their part. But you're lined up with an F to the right side, to the backside. He pulls around. I mean, Blake doesn't get touched the whole time, but you see all these plays have been designed to be slow in the backfield, to let the action of the front really establish itself, which tells me that they really trust the offensive line, right? They trust these guys and the back's vision with it, that they're going to find the right thing. All this really is a pull around from the F, finds the seam. It's no different. It's no different than, well, I guess it is different than power, because the start is just pulling out to trap that guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
So it's just a counter trap. He knocks out the DN. They got the F to pull around. A lot of times that's called F back, where the F will come to the backside of the play looking for the linebacker. If it were F smack, he would be the one to smack out the defensive end, and maybe another puller would find their way up to the linebacker. So this would be called something like F back. You see Vistardis comes and pulls around. He's going to knock out the defensive ends. Perfect. He pulls up in. The linebacker kind of takes himself out of the play, and then, to your point, the safety totally misjudges how fast Blake Corum is. But, right. I mean, that is textbook. That's just a textbook run there. That's the exact look you want, and that's blocked to perfection. And a lot of times that was something I noticed, too, throughout watching the course of this game. Coach Gaddis and the staff had the Washington defense out-leveraged the majority of the game. Watching it back, there were only a few plays I saw where I said, that's really not a front you want to run that play into. And sometimes you can get lucky with that, but when more often than not you are saying, boy, we got a good look, that means they had a really good game plan together and, like I said, had them out-leveraged throughout the majority of it.
All right, so now what we'll do is let's look at a counter where the tackle pulls and he has to deal with a spill. He does it perfectly. I mean, I thought Andrew Stuber on this play, I'm sure in the meeting, they graded him out pretty high, like, big fella. That's learning, that's thinking and moving on your feet right there. Let me pull this up.
There's a lot of athletic guys. I've been really impressed watching the O-line play. They're double teams together, their ability to run in space, and they're in conjunction with the running backs who are patient enough to let the blocks sort themselves out. It looks well-oiled at this point in the season for game two.
So this is part of that opening drive of the second half where Michigan comes out the gate and it's 8 straight runs, Jack. This is like I was asking you at the beginning when you hear that the, you know, the call is, you know, counter, split zone. I mean, it just boom, 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 and they cannot stop you.
You love it. I mean, we can get into some of the reasons why you don't maybe later, but when it's working and things are going, then yes, put it on our back. Let's go run the ball. And again, right, like you said, you're up 10-0. It's the first drive of the second half. You know, if you get up 17-0 and Washington's offense hasn't been able to do anything, you're going to feel really, really good about where you are. So what better way to do that than to pound the rock down the field, take off a bunch of clock, and kind of go break their will, right?
All right, yeah. So I have my mouse on Andrew Stuber, and I want you to explain that this isn't just a, you know, he's thinking on his feet here. So here we go.
Cup.
All right, and so then they look to the side for the call. This is your offensive coordinator, like, man, we We're about to smack these guys, so here we go.
All right, let's see here.
Yeah, so he comes around.
Yeah.
Sees the spill.
You know that's the counter tray, right? That's the counter tray to the left. That's the right guard and the right tackle pulling left is the counter tray from the old Washington football team, Joe Gibbs offense.
Yeah, it's just really well timed, right? That's why I'm saying it's well oiled. For it to be this, you know, look how patient Stuber is and the back to get around. The end comes down and crashes, spoils on Zinner, right? Who does a good job, says, all right, then I'll just pin him down inside. Stuber does a good job wrapping around, knowing where the play needs to go from there. And then who is that, Blake or Hassan, is just patient enough to sit there, wait, let everything develop. They do a great job. Look at all the D linemen in one little five-yard box. Anytime everything can get that concentrated, I like the idea of our athletes running around in space, right? And, look at that. Look at it. It all just gets buried in there.
So Jack, this is where you as the player can really break it down for the fans. Zinner and Stuber are working together here.
Correct.
And as you said, Stuber knows where the play is supposed to go,
right,
and is able to get around that noise in there and still make the block.
Now, that being said, though, when Zinner goes to hit that defensive end, depending on the defensive call, which you'll have no way of really knowing this pre-snap, you can wrong arm this or spill it. He decides that the defensive end tries to spill it, which means get inside of it, hoping the linebacker wraps over the top. But he could what they call wrong arm it, which is just sit and hold your ground and try to stalemate that block so that the gap, so that contain is held, and then the linebacker sits right in the middle. But you have no way of knowing that as a team when you're pulling around the corner there. It just depends on the defensive call. So when Zinner recognizes that he's going to spill, he basically just falls down and traps him in. That way Stuber knows, okay, they spilled it. I got to get around top to the linebacker who should be flowing over right to left, which he does. Gets a hold of him in time, but it doesn't matter. Hassan's quick enough. He gets to the edge and takes off.
That's some great, great stuff there. By the guys, now you mentioned the back being patient, letting the blocks develop. That doesn't always happen. Now, Michigan's backs are playing so well that even when they don't show patience, they can still make a play. But this is an example. That was an example of it being run perfectly. Let's pull out one where the patience wasn't quite there, but the play still worked out. This shows you how well the backs especially are going right now. So I'll bring that one up. And this is one where Blake runs past his tackle, gets in front of his tackle, which, you know, most of the time you don't want to do. But this time, it worked. This time it worked because these backs are clearly in a zone. So let's pull this up right now. Here we go. Share that screen, and I'll start it at the top. Jack, this is 1st and 10 in the third quarter, and we are in that same drive, man.
Yep.
In that same drive. So here we go.
Yeah. Still works, though, right?
Still works, right? Still works, Jack. So talk us through this one.
Well, you know, you wonder if he just saw something there. It's easier when you get the view from behind as an offensive lineman. You almost never watch film this way. I apologize. But it does. There's not much of a read step here or anything, right? He gets the ball and wants to get downhill quickly, which is surprising. Again, I don't know if he just pre-snap saw linebacker movement or defensive line movement and figured, hey, there might be a seam right here. Just go, because he's right. So that's what the curious part is why he took off so fast.
Mm-hmm.
The play gets blown up. There's really nothing there that's that exciting. I'm sure if we
what it does show is, you know, when you don't let the play develop, he had to make something happen. He had to find a hole.
Right.
This is the same deal, except this time he runs up in there in front of his blocker. This play should be hit for a loss. He's, like I said, he's just in the zone, so much of a zone, that he found something anyway.
He's also shifty enough and has good enough vision where he can get away with this. When he gets behind the line like that, and there's really no penetration, that's the difference, right? If the defensive line had penetrated and he had to stop and was on one foot trying to jump cut and stuff like that, it's really hard to do. But he basically just sneaks in behind these guys and figures out a little seam, and then he's got just breakaway speed to take off, right? Nothing's really there. He circles around a guy and goes, but he's talented enough to get away with it, like you said, right? Even when it's not blocked perfectly, or in that case, the front's probably not the best because you're trying to run essentially power with two pullers into a three technique, which is always difficult. So it's one of those plays that probably wasn't leveraged as best as some of the other ones were.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, right, you got a guy back there who's paid to make plays too, and that's what he's doing.
Right, so before we hit this break, I want to talk about a play that didn't go well, and trying to dissect it, to me, I think that the ball was snapped too early. And this could happen most of the time, you know, you would think this would happen on the road, but this seemed to be one where Kate McNamara wasn't expecting the snap when it came. And so I'm assuming, I've asked a few people in there, was this just a crowd noise thing, a student section noise thing? And you've been there before about the, you know, how you deal with that, how you deal with the, you know, crowd noise, which you don't anticipate having to do at home, but how you deal with it on the fly. But this was one where I think fans were like, man, what does this play call? And the fact that the ball was snapped too early, I think, is really what
I had
the
a
play.
Feeling you were going to pull on the goal line. That's what I figured we'd get to that at some point here.
Yeah, so here we go. This is second and goal.
And this is the pass play, right?
This is the pass play where he pulls. You have that on your screen now, Jack?
Yeah.
Yeah, he pulls, I think, that Schoonmaker in motion, and the ball snapped, right? And so it looks like, it looks like Schoonmaker is supposed to be out in the formation on the other side, you know, on the field side of the formation once the ball is snapped, but he never gets there. So here we go. And so you tell me if you think I'm right, Jack. He pulls him in motion and the ball snapped.
Yeah, it looks that way, doesn't it? I mean, just the body language, he's not even looking for the ball, would probably tell you that it's no good. I wonder where they were trying to go with this.
I don't think that Honingford would be a primary, right? Schoonmaker is the pass catching tight end. You see him look a little confused, and it looked like Honingford is maybe running a pick on the other side. And
it looks like it's a true rollout though the whole way. You know, I could see if it was some sort of play action and Schoonmaker, you know, sneaks through the backfield while all the action is going left, so the linebackers would lose sight of him and get caught up in the wash. But it looks like the way they call this, you can see it from Haskins. He takes out right immediately, I think. It doesn't look like there's any play action here. Yeah, so, they're going to roll the ball out that way. What I don't know is where Schoonmaker would have ended up. But I agree with you, Sam. I think it probably was an early count. But the offensive line all moved together. So, you know, I don't know if Cade sent him late or they just didn't. Someone messed up the timing somewhere. But it wasn't, like, to give credit to the boys up front. It couldn't have been them up front because they all moved in unison. So I don't really know where that went wrong. But I agree, something happened there. Those whole three plays, I was watching that, Sam. Those whole three plays were about as bad as the offense looked all night.
Yep.
There were missed assignments on those. They didn't get pushed on those. I didn't like the play call on some of those. Like, those three plays, well, four, I should say, were probably the four worst offensive plays of the night for Michigan. They unfortunately came at a time where you could have scored points. But besides that, you know, things were pretty good.
I thought. We'll get to the defense on the other side. I think that you had a little protector there with Haskins. Schoonmaker is going to be on the other side. He winds up not getting to the other side of the formation with motion, which I think he would have had the ball not been snapped, and he would have been open in the flat, because at least it looks that way, because Honer is picking deep.
Right, so you just have layers of them.
You have layers, exactly.
You got these giant 6'8" tight ends, all three at different layers. Just throw the ball up, one of them will go catch it.
Exactly, exactly. But this early snap threw all that off. We got to get to a break. When we come back on the other side, we will get to some defense. And boy, Aiden Hutchinson. More Jack Miller, Between the Lines, brought to you by Highland, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket.